And we hear these words from Isaiah.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you, all assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant, your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth of the seas will be brought to you, the riches of the nations will come, herds of camels will cover your land. That'll be interesting, won't it? Young camels of Midden and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense, and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. Arise, shine, your light has come. Jean, would you come and read to us, please?
I'm reading the first chapter of St. John and the first 40 verses, but I am reading a slightly different version this morning from the Living Bible. Hopefully Howard's got the right words put up there for me. Thank you, Howard. So John 1, 1 to 14. Before anything else existed, there was Christ with God. He has always been alive and is himself God. He created everything there is. Nothing exists that he didn't make. Eternal life is in him. And this life gives light to all mankind. His life is the light that shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent John the Baptist as a witness to the fact that Jesus Christ is the true light. John himself was not the light. He was only a witness to identify it. Later on, the one who is the true light arrived to shine on everyone coming into the world. But although he made the world didn't recognize him when he came. Even in his own land and among his own people, the Jews, he was not accepted. Only a few would welcome and receive him. But to all who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. All they needed to do was to trust him to save them. All those who believe this are reborn, not a physical rebirth resulting from human passion or plan, but from the will of God. And Christ became a human being and lived here on earth among us and was full of loving forgiveness and truth. And some of us have seen his glory. The glory of the only Son of the Heavenly Father.
This Christmas is my ninth Christmas with you, which means it's really hard to find something new to say. So I've not bothered trying to find something new to say. I've borrowed some information from the LICC, some outlines for Advent. And this first one is called The Unusual King. The Unusual King. And it's based on John 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And as I said, today is the first Sunday of Advent, the season of preparation. It's finally come, Linda. You can start talking about Christmas. No, not yet. And it's about that it means as well that there's only 24 sleeps until Christmas, which is the universal timekeeping for children these days. Now, many of you will already have been preparing. Perhaps some of you start your Christmas shopping in August or even in the January sales. Some of the rest of us would prefer it if you didn't tell us that. Whenever you started, today is a great moment to start preparation spiritually. And to help with that, we're beginning this Advent series called Down to Earth. We're thinking about both elements of that title. First, that we have a God who came down to earth. A God who is still, in so many ways, down to earth and has involved himself in the everyday mess and beauty of daily life. Second, our down-to-earth God has a down-to-earth mission for each of us. We're called to be, in some senses, down-to-earth people, heavenly-minded, but down-to-earth. So as we prepare for this season, between us we'll have all sorts of Christmas traditions. Your family, like my family, will have all different types of ways that you celebrate Christmas. Maybe it'll be a turkey, or maybe it'll be a goose. Maybe it'll be just a few of you. Maybe it's all piled into one house. In Japan, I think I mentioned this last year, in Japan it's become a tradition to take a trip to Kentucky Fried Chicken on Christmas Day, with people pre-ordering weeks in advance. Anybody know what this is? It's the Yule Goat. Believe it or not, it goes back to the 17th century. But in Sweden, some people celebrate this Yule Goat. And apparently in Romania, it's Christmas tradition for men to dress as goats. For some reason, goats have a connection to Christmas. Who knows why? It's a strange world. But John has its own uniqueness and its own traditions. No birth, no Mary and Joseph, no shepherds or magi, nor a donkey in sight, nor a goat in sight. John launches with a cosmic view of his newborn king as the Word that has become flesh. And John opens his gospel in this unusual way with what N.T. Wright calls the full meaning of everything Jesus was and is and did. The unusual king. John introduces us to the king of the cosmos. And yet Jesus is a king like no other. His rule and reign over the world that he loves so much is so unusual, seeking to build a kingdom to become where all of us can flourish. So this unusual king became one of us. The Word became flesh. Now we know that kings usually live in palaces with crowns made of gold and jewels. You may remember that this, I think it was this year, wasn't it, when King Charles was crowned? Year before. That the crown he wore was worth 400 million. 400 million for a crown. Jesus, the unusual king, will wear a crown made of thorns that wasn't worth anything, but it cost him everything. If you want to know what God is like, look hard at Jesus himself. Paul tells us in Philippians 2:7, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. In the opening of John's Gospel, he tells us Jesus was there at the beginning of everything, overseeing creation, and yet made himself nothing. This unusual king is a humble king. Now today, we might admire humility. We don't see much of it amongst our leaders, but the fact is that the Bible rates humility very high. But historians will tell you that in the Roman world, humility was not considered a virtue. What was prized was honour. Having your qualities recognised and your name praised. To boast about your achievements was not just culturally acceptable, it was expected in Greco-Roman society. So you can imagine that Donald Trump would have gone down really well there. This is totally upended by the unusual king, who submitted himself to the most humiliating punishment that the Romans could create, crucifixion. Jesus emptied himself of his divine status and died for the sake of the lie of the world that he loved. Could it be this humble, unusual act of a king is the path to a revelation our world, a revolution that our world needs today? to empty ourselves of self, importance, and lay our lives down for the sake of others. This is the way of the unusual king. Then the unusual king moved into our neighborhood. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Eugene Peterson, in the Message version of the Bible, expresses this verse in this way. He says, the word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. I love that version. Hard to imagine a king moving into our neighborhood. Can you imagine King Charles moving into Hoff Lane? It would be unusual. It would be different. And every time that a king visits a neighborhood to open a new monument or a hospital, the council will spend weeks tidying up the streets, landscaping the parks, painting over the graffiti. Kings usually live in palaces, but this unusual king was born in a town that had to be defined in order to be differentiated between other Bethlehems, because there were many in the New Testament times. The one who lived among the angels now lived even among the ones who didn't recognize him or accept him. The word dwelt is the Greek word for tent, and if you want to know more about that, read my little fascinating article, well constructed and well written, in the notice sheet. See, I'm getting on board with this humbleness and this bragging of our abilities. But God came, he became human and pitched his tent amongst us. We're called to live out the life of this king in our neighborhoods, to live them among the lonely and the lost, like Jesus, to be a light of hope to them. And then this Jesus is full of grace and truth. An unusual king might declare edicts and state laws, but it is unusual for a king to be known as grace, for their grace. For the Jews, the old temple contained a law that could show you where you had wronged. But this king embodied grace and truth. When this king encountered a woman at the well, or a woman caught in adultery, or a money-grabbing little tax collector, or a follower who betrayed him in his moment of need, this king told them the truth, but his grace also set them free. So interesting that when we look to God in everyday life, when we look to him in our troubles, when we cry out in prayer, we often look up. But this passage shows a God who comes down to earth, a God who is one with us, a God who dwells in our neighborhoods and is full of grace and truth. 2024 has been a year of elections, and they're still going on in Ireland at the moment. Globally, more voters than ever have been to the polls. More than 80 countries sought new leaders to govern civic life. As we voted, we may have been asking ourselves, will this leader be interested in the issues we face in our neighbourhood? Will it be a leader who is involved at ground level? Will this leader guide us into a future where the next generation will flourish? Is this leader humble and trustworthy, and do they understand the everyday issues that most of us face? Jesus, the unusual king, came to identify himself with us, and came for the least and the lost. Jesus, the unusual king, moved into our neighborhood, not removed from everyday reality of life, but living every day amongst us. Jesus, this unusual king, came to serve, not to be served. Now, who wouldn't bow the knee to a king like this? Let's pray together. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the unusual king. Not a king like the normal set of kings that we have had and have in this world, but a king who moved into our neighborhood and still does. A king who is and was full of grace and truth. A king who stooped down to us when we couldn't reach up to you. Jesus, we thank you for your great love for us. And as we move into a time of communion shortly, we pray that we might have the opportunity to revisit that King and be able to see again the cost that he paid for our freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.